While I was reading through the psalm in the last couple of weeks again and again and again, I have to say it was a bit of a different journey for me as I was preparing this message today. And God seemed to give me a story that made sense when I read the psalm together. And so in some ways today is going to be a bit of a storytelling. It's going to be a little different, but that's okay. I need to keep you guys on your toes. Because if I do the same thing every time, it's a little boring that way. But before we get into that, let's just pray, actually, and open our hearts to what God has to say today, and then dig into the story. God, I thank you so very much that this is your place. This is your space. God, I pray that as we come into this place, Lord, that we've let the things go in our hearts that we've needed to, and that we all rest here, open-handed, waiting to hear what you have to say. Father, I thank you that as we come to you, you are so willing to share your wisdom, your good news, your life, your healing, everything that we need for every moment of every day we can find in you. Father, may it be your words this morning and not mine. In Jesus' name, amen. It was hot in the valley. The sun was beating on his head, making him sweat. And the sweat that had started out with little bits of beading on his forehead now began to feel like they were small streams trickling down his body, making their way to his sandals, making them slick and slippery as he navigated around the rocks along the edge of the riverbed. It was a dry and desolate place. Although it was green along the edges where the river water lapped and kissed the stones, but it quickly died out the further you got away from the water. The sun bouncing off the sides of the canyon was the only way he could tell the passage of time. It was beating down and causing the heat to get hotter by the minute. And as he looked ahead, he could see his escape. He could see how he'd get out, but everything shimmered with the waves of heat. And even though he knew that was the path he had to go, for now, he was stuck in this valley. In his heart, where despair wanted to rule, to take over every thought, to suck him into this black hole of helplessness, he almost gave up and let it win. It seemed like in some ways that would be relief, to let it take him and suck him under. No more accusing thoughts, no more things to think about, no more weight of his own wrongdoing. It would just all be gone. Let go and be released. But then his mind was drawn to this small thought, a rather annoying thought, this thing in the back of his mind that he couldn't just let go because he remembered he'd been here before. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. He had been in this valley before. Not in the same way and not in the same circumstances, but he'd walked in this soul-crushing space before. And God had rescued him. God had given him a new song to sing. And momentarily, in the midst of that heat and dryness, he was drawn along to other memories of good things that God had done. To the reminder that God loves his people and does not forget them. Oops. Oh, sorry. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud, who does not turn aside to false gods. Many, Lord my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you have planned for us. None can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, they would be too many to declare. The plagues of Egypt, the Red Sea, manna in the desert, Jericho, the conquest of the land that they lived in now, Deborah and Barak, Ehud, Samuel hearing the voice of God. And his mind was momentarily overwhelmed with all the memories of the things that God had done. So many good things, again and again. I can't even tell them all, he thought. And suddenly the valley did not seem quite so empty. Like God was filling the space with his presence. Still hot and dry, but not on his own. He came to a complete stop along the river and began to ponder what his response then should be to these things, these thoughts. Should it be then that we should rush to sacrifice? Surely that would be good and God would be pleased. But if he was honest, how often had he sacrificed an animal and it had really meant nothing? How often had he sang songs that were just words and not connected to his heart? How often had he gone to God pretending like everything was all right when he knew in that dark corner of his heart he had a sin that he was still preparing a defense for? Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, here I am, I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. Slowly he began to move again. Oh, how much God's about the heart. He remembered the moment he'd finally got that. It was kind of a heartbreaking, sick moment and a win all at the same time. Because if it's about the heart, my heart is a dark, deceptive place. And yet it was relief, too, because he didn't have to pretend by his outward actions that everything was right. That pressure to perform finally had dropped off a little bit, and he could just concentrate on how he loved the Lord. But the sun was still hot. And one foot after another, as he carefully chose his path through the rocks and the brush, watching carefully to make sure he didn't disturb maybe a sleeping snake that was hiding under a rock. And then he got thinking about when he'd been on that mountaintop. We'd all have those mountaintops where the great things that God is doing, and he had been so clear to tell everyone about it, of his justice and God's fairness, regardless of your circumstance. There had been a time in his life on that mountaintop when he could just not shut up about how good God was. For I proclaim your saving acts in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, Lord, as you know. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and your saving help. I do not conceal your love and your faithfulness from the great assembly. Yes, everyone knew that God had helped him in the past. Everyone who had ever heard of him seemed to know of his reliance on our great Savior. And for a few moments, he got so wrapped up in these thoughts that he lost focus on his steps, and he stumbled. And he fell hard to his knees. And in that moment, the weight of the place that he was in came crashing back into his mind. And he felt himself being sucked back into that blackness. He painfully struggled to his feet. He knew without looking that his right knee was bleeding, and a small stream of blood was mixing with the rivers of sweat now, making their way to his feet. Do not withhold your mercy from me, Lord. May your love and faithfulness always protect me. For troubles without number surround me. My sins have overtaken me, and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head, and my heart fails within me. Be pleased to save me, Lord. Come quickly, Lord, and help me. Oh, God, you have done it before. He knew that. And it wasn't just for him, but throughout all of Israel's history, God had proved again and again that even though they were faithless, God was faithful. full. God reached down and saved them. But this valley was oppressing his heart. And the most crushing thing about it was it was his own decisions that had got him here. It was his own heart that had left him abandoned and on his own, trying to survive in a place of desolation. But as if that wasn't bad enough, there had to be people around pointing fingers. The accusations, it was like they'd watched the mountaintop while he was there and were waiting to see when he would crash so they could say, aha, knew it was too good to be true. The ones that stood on the sidelines and mocked him and said, no one is that righteous, even he sins. May all who want to take my life be put to shame and confusion. May all who desire my ruin be turned back in disgrace. May those who say to me, aha, aha, be appalled at their own shame. Like jackals that tracked their prey, waiting for an opportunity to kill, or vultures that flew overhead, waiting for him to drop under the weight of his despair and to feast on his flesh. And his heart cried, God, deal with them. Bring them to disgrace. Open their eyes to see their own sins, so that's what they deal with, not point fingers. 1 foot in front of the other, step by step. But that spark, that tiny little spark that would not die, began to grow. And something began to change. It was not that his sin was any less, or that those who had mocked him had gone away. He was still in the valley, and the heat was unbearable. He was dry and thirsty, and every cell in his body was crying out for relief. But for some reason, with each passing moment, the assurance that God was watching over him began to grow. It didn't matter what others thought of him. It only mattered what God had for him. And the spark of hope that had almost been snuffed out by despair became a flame. And the air began to cool even just a little bit. And it seemed as if a little breeze began to move the brush softly. Because he was not going to let this pit own him. He was not going to go into the blackness never to return. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who long for your saving help always say, the Lord is great. And while he knew, he didn't feel that yet. He knew from the ways of the Lord that he would not be forgotten, that the Lord would not turn his eyes from him. But as for me, I am poor and needy. May the Lord think of me. You are my help and my deliverer. You are my God. Do not delay. I think we have all been in the valley. I think that's part of a journey of every believer, is to experience that space where we feel like our sins are so insurmountable and we are lost because of our own hearts and our own decisions. And I think what we learn from David's psalm is that when we're in that valley, we have some choices we can make. We will feel that valley, and it will threaten to overwhelm us, and it will make us feel like we're no good for anything. If you knew how dark my heart was, you would not ask me to volunteer. If you knew the things I struggle with, you would never have me involved in any kind of leadership or working in ministry, because I am a dark place. But the truth is, no matter where we are, no matter what that space is, of course, we're not alone. And I think the Psalm of David gives us some insights on how we can handle those valleys. And it's 6 points, you're going to have to bear with me. Well, the first thing we need to do is remember our story. We have all had those mountaintops moments. And when we're in the valley, that is one of our moments to write our story, to look back on our journey with God and see those mountaintop moments, remind ourselves of the things that God has done, because he has done good things for us. David was reminded of the times he waited patiently in the Lord and God had rescued him. We all have mountaintop stories from our own experiences, so remember them. Start a thankful journal. Do what it takes to bring them to mind. I think the other thing that we can look at, like David did, is remember the great acts of God. Again and again, the Bible, from creation to revelation and its prophecies, remind us that God loves humanity. Over and over and over again, we have proven that we are unfaithful and untrustworthy, and he is faithful and he is trustworthy. Open the scriptures and read. Let the stories of who God is begin to wash over you. Be open to what he has to say about his story, history. I think the third thing we can do is watch our heart attitude. David recognized that it wasn't the sacrifices, but the heart that made God happy. We need to be watchful and open and honest with God. And be careful that it's not what we do that impresses God. It's not the actions, but it's the heart behind the actions. So take the time to deal with your heart. If you ever wanted to be one of those people that seems to just do things naturally, they just seem to go out and love people unconditionally, my guess is because they've worked on their heart before the Lord. Start there. Figure that out with him, and then the actions come from a heart that loves. Actions come from a heart that recognizes that we are so not worthy of this. And none of us are, so we can love unconditionally those around us. And I think the thing that we're dealing with our heart is we don't get to compare ourselves to other people then, do we? It's a pretty weak defense when we come to God and say, but they were doing it. It's got to be okay, right? It's a one-on-one conversation with us and God. I think the other thing that David did was tell the stories of God's goodness to anyone that would listen. That's why we have sharing time. That's why we have testimonies. That's why we gather together to hear the good things that God's doing in other people's lives, because it encourages us in our journeys. It encourages our stories. But I don't know if you're like me. Have you ever heard yourself say something out loud and then you stop and go, oh yeah, I guess I do believe that. Or that is true. There is something that is changed by our own hearts when we tell our own story. When we're reminded and sharing the good things that God has done, it changes who we are too. Tell your stories of God's goodness to anyone that will listen. And when you're in that valley and it is dark, some of that sharing of your stories reminds you again of the faithfulness of God. The fifth thing that David did, I love this, is he was so honest with God, wasn't he? For my troubles surround me, too many to count. My sins pile up so high, I can't see my way out. They outnumber the hairs on my head. I have lost all courage. Is it just me, or do we all start to pretend things with God? Like everything's okay when it's not okay, because we don't want to be dealing with that thing again. I think we don't have to be disrespectful to God, definitely. We should always treat God with holiness and respect. But I think we can be honest with God, because to be honest, it's not like he's not aware of it. Even if we're hiding it from him, he's still very aware of what we're feeling in that space. And I am trying very hard in my own life to be much more honest with God when it comes to those things. I want to pretend like it's not an issue anymore because it's something old and we've dealt with that, God, right? And I'm healed and it doesn't matter anymore. And then something will happen where I'm dragged right back to that space again and I'm dealing with that feelings of unforgiveness or whatever it is all over again. And it's almost embarrassing to go to God and say, God, it's back. Can you help me here? But that's when life-changing happens. Challenging ourselves to be real. Lord, I really actually don't feel like I like that person right now because of what's been going on, and it's totally not okay. God, I need you to do something in my heart and my mind there. And the cool thing is, when we do that, he does. It may not be immediate, but he begins a new work there because we've asked him to. I think one more thing we can do is ask God to show you what he wants to do. So it's a little different there. When people are pointing fingers and accusing us of stuff, isn't it easy to get overwhelmed by the number of things that we could be fixing now? I think it's important to deal with those things, and I think it's important to bring them to God and say, God, what is the truth in this matter? What do I need to work on here? And then allow him to start the agenda. Allow him to start the new work. Maybe it is that we need to apologize. So then apologize and move on. Maybe it is there are things that we need to learn in that space, so then learn them and allow God to teach you those things in that space. But make sure that it's his agenda for your life, not other people's agenda for your life. I think most importantly, when we're in that valley, I think we need to remember that we choose what we believe. We choose to let despair overwhelm us, or we choose to always say, the Lord is great. And sometimes I get this, our hearts don't feel that way. They don't want to say the Lord is great. And we let our feelings dictate our experience. We will not praise because we don't feel like it. We will not sing because our heart is not in it. We will not give because we do not understand what God is doing. I think sometimes we just need to continue to say, the Lord is great, even when we don't feel like it, and keep saying it until we do feel like it. Because we know that God is faithful, and he will rescue us from the weight of our sin. And he will lift us out of the mud, and he will put us on solid ground so that we can function and have that mountaintop once more. The Lord is great. The Lord is great. The Lord is great. The Lord is great. Let's pray. God, I thank you that you are beyond faithful, because we really don't understand what that word means. That singular focus, that ultimate love for each one of us that never wavers, never falters, never walks away from us. God, we don't really understand that because we're so incapable of that. But Lord, we can rest in that. Father, help us to remember you. In the spaces that are dark and are hard, God, you are there. And we can let you be you, and we can let our journey go and let you take control. Thank you for the chance to be in community and to hear each other's stories and to love each other through the ups and the downs and the mountaintops and the valleys. The Lord is great. In Jesus' name, amen.